Scene 2, Nellie Griswold, 10:15 a.m. It was well after 10 when we separated, she to take the elevator and I the escalator. We waved at each other cheerfully. It wasn't really a parting. I knew I'd see her again. I went like a homing pigeon through the jungle of exhibits to the Hercules booth. There was a vague feeling of disintegration in the air. It was the last day of the convention, and the booths would close permanently in early afternoon. The books and the placards and the gimcrackery would all be put away or discarded, and the shadow of that coming event reached forward. Nellie wasn't there. I felt a touch of panic. Now that I was beginning to understand, I couldn't bear to have to wait to put the last pieces in place. I said to the girl in the booth anxiously, "Where is Miss Griswold, do you know?" "She'll be right back," said the girl, with just enough hesitation and embarrassment to make it clear Nellie was in the powder room. That was good. They always return from the powder room. Its attractions are limited, I suppose. I saw her from a distance, which is the advantage of looking for a person who is tall. I walked quickly toward her, hoping to keep her from being deflected. "Nellie!" I waved a hand. I had to do that, or she wouldn't have seen me, the disadvantage of not being tall. She said, "Darius, how do you feel? Have you had enough of the shindig yet?" "Almost." "As for me, quite. I'm going home tonight after the banquet and straight to bed. Then I'm not coming to work until Monday." "Good," I said, quite willing to let her have a whole month off if necessary, provided only she would give me the answer I wanted. I knew what the answer must be, but every notch I lowered the uncertainty, every link I didn't have to guess into existence, would make the structure so much firmer and the final gamble so much safer. I said, "Listen, Nellie, I have to know something else about Giles DeVore. You know, the autographing session." I looked up at her earnestly as I said it, and it struck me for the first time that a girl could be grotesquely tall. "I told you everything," she said. "Just one point. Remember he threw the red pen away when he was finished, the red pen you gave him?"
"Yes, he did. I never picked it up. Do you need it?"
"I doubt that we could possibly..." "No, I don't need it. But when you brought it to him, he was sitting there with another pen, a pen that had gone dry. It was the second pen to have gone dry, and you were bringing him a third one."
"Yes?"
She had the look of one who was expecting to become confused at any minute. "All right, now the question is, what did he do with the second pen when you brought him the third? Did he throw it away, or put it down in front of him, or what?"
"Oh, gee, how do you remember?"
"Well, he didn't throw it. He saw me coming. Oh, I know, he put it in his pocket." I seized her hand and squeezed it as hard as I could. "Are you sure?" She nodded her head vigorously, looking pleased that I seemed to be pleased.
"I remember now because he gave me the feeling that he was afraid I would take the pen from him, and he was putting it away quickly. In fact, I said, 'I don't want your pen, Mr. DeVore. I'm bringing you a new one.' Yes, I remember."
"Yes," I said. "His wife told me he always keeps his dry pens. It was the throwing away of the red one that was unusual." I was trying to keep from prancing, and Nellie said,
"Is that all you want to know?"
"Yes, it's all I need. Thank you so much." I had the impulse to kiss her, but I thought of the upward stretching that would be required to place my lips on hers, and I thought, the hell with it.